to this episode of And So It Flows. I'm your host, Nicole Crocky, Chief Editor of Plumbing and Mechanical and PM Engineer Magazines. Today's topic of discussion is backflow prevention, and we're joined today by Sean Cleary, Vice President of Industry Programs and BPI Operations for IAPMO's Backflow Prevention Institute. Thanks for being with us today, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
So before we get started, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and what you do at the Backflow Prevention Institute?
Okay. I'm from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I became an apprentice plumber in 1978, and I went through the United Association's apprenticeship program, becoming a journeyman. I'm a licensed master plumber from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I was an apprenticeship instructor in my local union, and I graduated into actually teaching for the UA on a national basis with the backflow prevention program that they have. I got very interested in backflow prevention in the early 90s, became a certified tester, and then actually started putting classes together. I organized the first ASSE school in my part of Pennsylvania, and have been running certification classes ever since. In 2008, I was looking to make a change. I worked in the field for 32 years, but I was looking to make a change and get more into the code battles, shall we say, and code interpretations, and actual to get to the point to do full-time training. So in 2008, I was offered a position with the International Association of Plumbing and Mechanical Officials. I came on as a field manager doing code adoption work, and I transitioned into working with the Backflow Prevention Institute, which is IAPMO's backflow training arm. I took over running the institute a number of years ago, and since then we've expanded it. It is now currently the largest ASSE school training in multiple states and even on an international basis. So we do an awful lot of training in the cross-connection industry. It's the heart and soul of what we do.
That's awesome. So kind of getting into it, so why is backflow prevention so important?
Well, the short answer to that is because water is necessary for our life. And as a result, it's a resource we really need to protect. The past several years with issues like the water infrastructure problems in Jackson, Mississippi, what happened in Flint, Michigan, our public trust has eroded in the water systems we have. Water shortage issues like we currently have with the Colorado River and Lake Mead make it clear that we need to recognize how important water is and how important the protection of this resource is. We need to be good stewards of the water we have available. And cross-connection control and backflow prevention programs play a huge important role in protecting the quality of our water and the integrity of our water systems themselves. Our systems are growing more and more complicated, and with more widespread use of recycled water, rainwater catchment, and other programs we have, the protection of our water systems have never been more important. So cross-connection control and backflow prevention is a critical part of that.
Okay. So how did the COVID-19 pandemic influence, this backflow prevention market, and how has it changed since then?
That is an interesting question, because COVID did affect, I think, every part of everything within the entire world. COVID affected our training and certification programs because one issue we have is we do face-to-face training and hands-on practical training that is really required, with the testing and certification that we do. So it became a problem. It had a large impact on even the testing of assemblies that are already installed. Mm-hmm. A lot of jurisdiction and facilities were concerned about allowing people into their buildings to actually physically do the testing. And as a result, a lot of the authorities having jurisdiction and water utilities sort of postponed testing of backflow prevention assemblies, which really isn't a good idea. Most are now back to enforcing the same regulations that were in place before COVID. But to be honest, some are still playing catch up. When you relax requirements, sometimes it's difficult to get them back online. The industry also lost quite a large number of certified testers who were either unable to recertify or simply decided to let the certification lapse and stop testing. In regards to the facilities themselves, the requirements to work from home caused water quality issues of their own, with entire buildings becoming large dead legs within the water system.
Mm-hmm.
The low use or no use at all led to stagnant water in these buildings and created the need to recommission water systems within the facilities to bring them back online correctly. Backflow prevention protection kept this substandard water from returning to the public water systems, but we had issues internally within the systems. IATMO and AWWA actually worked together to address these issues and have released a manual of recommended practice for the safe closure and reopen of building water systems. So things are returning to normal in most areas.
Okay. So what would you say are the top trends you're seeing right now in backflow preventers?
Okay. The valves themselves continue to evolve, to be honest. Newer valves are smaller, lighter, and to be brutally honest, easier to service.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing more and more stainless steel valve bodies. They're also developing new type of valves for specific applications, like the ASSE 1081 device, which combines the backflow preventer with the pressure reducing valve into a single body to reduce size and cost. And they're mainly used for residential hydronic heating boilers. The manufacturers and the valve companies are always looking for ways to build a better mousetrap and provide the industry with the correct protection for any and all situations. There is a trend toward electronic test kits and equipment, which is a new thing in the industry more and more. There are now testing equipment that use Bluetooth technology to record the readings directly from your testing equipment right to your phone and then email them directly to the authority having jurisdiction or the local utility. There's also geo-tracking with these things so that it's easy to prove that the actual testing is taking place at the valve site. So I would say the industry has always been forward thinking, and we keep coming up with new ways to protect water systems as they become more complicated.
So what do you think exactly is driving those trends?
Cost and efficiency, to be honest, are the main forces I see out there driving these trends. Like, again, as I said, systems keep becoming more and more complicated. You know, we have to keep looking at things in a slightly different way. We have a lot more recycled water use and things these days. So there are valves that are being installed on recycled water systems to protect the recycled water systems. So the industry does keep evolving. That's one thing I'll say about the plumbing industry. Since I got involved in 1978, I've never stopped learning. The industry keeps changing. It keeps moving forward.
Yeah. So kind of talking about how, you wanted to get involved in the code side, how exactly, are the plumbing codes influencing the products in this space?
Well, the plumbing codes provide the direction that's needed to ensure that the proper valve, the proper protection is installed and is installed correctly. The code specifically tells an installer or designer what type of assembly or device is required for specific systems. The code explains the type of backflow the valve will protect against and the degree of hazard the connection presents. It also spells out the installation and testing requirements. It's really our guidebook for protecting the water system.
Okay.
By using the code, we can make the proper evaluation of the hazard and then install the required protection. To be honest, if the only protection needed within a facility is an expensive hose connection vacuum breaker, that is what we should install. Backflow prevention is not a one-size-fit-all solution. So we need to make sure to use the adopted plumbing code to make the correct call, to make sure that we install the required protection and that it's installed correctly.
Okay. Now, what would you say are, the most common mistakes that you're seeing when installing backflow preventers, and how exactly can plumbers prevent them?
That's an important question. The most common mistake we find is the protection is simply installed incorrectly. In many cases, it's because the installation instructions, to be honest, were ignored, or the installer doesn't understand the code requirements. Assemblies installed either too high or too low is an issue. These things are mechanical valves that have to be serviced. And if they're installed 40 feet in the air, it's an issue. Valves that are required to be installed in a horizontal orientation, we're finding them installed vertically, and they just don't work that way is another very good example. Another common problem we see is backflow prevention assemblies installed in meter pits and vaults. Some valves are allowed below ground, but many are prohibited, and we still see them being installed all the time incorrectly. The best way to eliminate these problems is with education programs for plumbers, pipe fitters, and sprinkler fitters. We also need to include inspectors and engineers along with designers in this mix. If it's incorrect on the building plans, odds are it will be incorrect when it's installed. Education of everybody involved is the key. We try to reach out to ASPE. We try to reach out to local chapters of engineers, designers, inspectors to point out small problems that do exist before they become large problems. Again, I think education is the key.
Yeah, that makes sense. And on the other hand, why is testing these devices regularly so important?
Well, honestly, they're mechanical devices. It's not if they'll fail, it's when they'll fail. So it's simply by doing regular testing and maintenance, we can have confidence that they will perform correctly when they're needed. There's redundancy built into any mechanical backflow preventer. So with testing, we can fix small problems before they become large ones. Installing testable backflow assemblies and then not testing them, you know, simply is not logical. If the hazard is great enough that a backflow assembly must be installed, then it also must be tested and maintained. Hoping it will not fail is not a strategy we should use. Testing on a regular basis makes sense because it allows us to have confidence that the valves will function the way that they are supposed to.
Okay. So how can a plumber who's interested become certified as a backflow tester? What type of training and education is required?
That's again, is another excellent question. Although it does vary from state to state and jurisdiction, to jurisdiction, in most areas, becoming a certified tester will normally require a 40-hour training class with a written and practical exam given at the end of the class. At the IAPMO Backflow Prevention Institute, we in most areas use the American Society of Sanitary Engineering as our third-party certifier. They have the largest and most accepted tester certification program in the United States. They also require a prerequisite of a minimum of 5 years experience in plumbing or a related field, or the student has to be in the fourth or fifth year of a recognized apprenticeship program. The training itself is split between classroom and wet lab hands-on practice testing for the four major different types of assemblies that are out there. They include the reduced pressure principle assembly, the double check valve assembly, the pressure vacuum breaker assembly, and the spill resistant vacuum breaker assembly. The classroom work covers every aspect of cross-connection control, from code requirements to valve selections of both testable and non-testable backflow preventers. Most certification programs that are out there are good for a three-year basis. At the end of 3 years, the tester is required to come in and take some additional training and testing in a one-day class. So that's the norm. It does vary from state to state and jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but I would say in most areas, that is the route that people use to become certified testers.
Okay. Now, you had previously mentioned, you know, the industry's lost some testers, after the pandemic and everything. And combined with the ongoing labor shortage, how can the plumbing industry attract more people into the trade and get them interested in becoming a certified tester?
Well, I think the industry would benefit from explaining what a career in the industry is. I don't think we do ourselves any favors when we tell people looking at our industry that they don't need to go to college and that they should look at the trades instead of a college type education. We should be explaining to them that our apprenticeship programs are college level and that our education programs will build them a solid, well-paying careers and jobs that can't be offshored and that do vital work protecting the health of the nation. We do cutting edge work in healthcare, energy, water systems, and more. Telling them that they can do important work, get a quality education in a growing field, get paid while they do it, and not run up huge amounts of student loans and debts makes sense. That's a recruitment plan that will work and excite the next generation. A lot of people, especially a lot of people my age, seem to think that the younger generations don't have a solid work ethic or anything else. I have to be honest. I do training all the time. I've taught apprentices since 1978. Well, actually, since 1982. But I think the generation is a little bit different, but they're hardworking, they're goal oriented, and we just have to show them a direction that makes sense for them. And I think that's something that the entire industry could improve on.
Yeah, I like that aspect. I don't think I've ever seen it put like that. So, well, that about covers all the time we had today for questions. Was there anything else that you wanted to add on the topic?
Well, the only other thing I'd like to point out is I'd like to say that service companies that aren't providing cross-connection control services and backflow testing and repair services to their customers, they're doing a disservice to themselves, their employees, and most of all, their customers. This is important work that must be completed and is being done in both residential and commercial customers' facilities. If it's not being done by your own company and your employees, you are forcing your customers to look elsewhere and bring another service provider into their facilities. Is that really what contractors want to do? I really would encourage every plumbing mechanical company out there to at least get some of their people trained and certified and start giving customers the service that they want and that they deserve. This is important work. It has to be done, and quality contractors should be the ones doing it.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Sean. We appreciate you taking the time.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me.